The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of this special edition of the National Intel Report on this Wednesday, 14 February 2018. And, Cody, the reason why we do the date and everybody else has followed suit in the alternative media is I explain very simply that we have these programs recorded in archives on servers all over the place. So if there's ever a federal indictment in a federal case, well, it's they can't take anything out of context because we have the thing from A to Z. We've got it recorded. All right. We're back talking with Cody Snodgrass. And if you had just tuned in this hour, you better go into the archives to listen to this program to catch up. We're talking to Cody Snodgrass, author of Choosing the Light, The Dark Secrets of the Oklahoma City Bombing. And we're talking about, we left off with Kuwait, Saddam Hussein, which is actually a CIA asset for our government. They were concerned about the Iranians, so they armed up Saddam Hussein with weapons of mass destruction. Now, Cody, along the lines here, Saddam Hussein had figured out that, you know, that things may not be going as he had hoped. And you talked about Donald Rumsfeld that actually brokered the deal, getting the weapons over there, and this was to go kill Iranians. Well, once that thing spun down, we had an asset there that had seen the game plan played out. And can you pick it up from there?
Right, yeah. And so when Saddam invaded Kuwait, he went too far. The Saudis put pressure on our government, and they cooked up Desert Storm to go over there in January of 91 and kick Saddam out of Kuwait. Saddam had turned, just like me, had turned from an asset to a liability at this point, and he had to be demonized and gotten rid of. And the problem that we had was our government and the Reagan administration, the Iran-Contra affair and all that, they had covertly armed him with all this stuff, and they didn't want the American people to know. So the normal anthrax shots that our troops were to get, they were afraid that since they'd given the AIM strain, it's a highly virulent strain of weaponized anthrax, to Saddam, that if we went over there to kick him out of Kuwait, that he would use that on our troops. So our standard anthrax shots was a six-month course. You take one shot per month to develop immunity. And they had to come up with a crash program and a vaccine program to countervent this. Now, we're getting to the Murrah Building and why they blew it up, because this is real important to understand the background. So what they did was they waived FDA testing by executive order, and they created new anthrax vaccines, which was one injection for 1 month. And in this book, it's highly documented with Bioport, and it's got lot numbers at Dover Air Force Base, and everything that they did. So to make a long story short, they gave our troops guinea pigs. They treated them like guinea pigs, and they gave them these new shots. It's just very similar to when they sprayed our guys excuse me, in Vietnam with the Agent Orange.
Was this correctly or incorrectly called the Gulf War Syndrome?
Well, yeah, we're getting to that.
Okay,
Once they gave, there was approximately 480,000 of our troops, men and women, that went over there, and most of them got these anthrax shots. And these new anthrax shots were making people really sick. They had a new adjunct called squalene. Now, what an adjunct is when you give someone a standard flu shot, they put, like, mercury or aluminum in there, and what it does is stimulate the autoimmune system response of the body. And so this new squalene is a long, fatty acid molecule thing, and it really stimulates your immune system to make the anthrax attenuated viruses adhere inside the human body. So it took a six-month course down to 1 month. So they gave them everybody. They sent them over there, and people started getting sick, all kinds of sicknesses. Now, the second thing, John, where we have the Gulf War Syndrome, was the fact that in January 91, that was the first war that the U.S. in their history had ever used depleted uranium weapons on a mass scale. And the two primary deployments of these types of weapons were the A-10 Warthogs, the tank busters, which shot the 30-millimeter chain guns. They had the uranium-238 rounds in them. And then also the M1A1 Abrams tanks, like Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols, his platoon commander, were in. A lot of people don't know Tim McVeigh won a Bronze Star for confirmed kills over there in Iraq. But the Sabot rounds that were shot out of our tanks had a real high kinetic energy. They came out of the barrels at approximately 5,200 feet per second, and they had about a 9-inch rod of depleted uranium-238 within them. Now, the Pentagon admits to expending approximately 200 tons of this new depleted uranium weaponry, and they had a problem. And here's what happened. This stuff had never been used in real battles before. And these tanks, when we shot Saddam's tanks, he primarily had the T-54 Soviet tanks. And their turrets weigh about 11 tons. And our rounds had enough kinetic energy to blow those things up like a tumbleweed up in the air. And they created great fireballs. And inside the fireballs, John, the depleted uranium-238 was fusing and making new chemicals like uranium oxide and uranium dioxide. And the micron size of the particulate from these explosions were approximately 4 microns. Now, our standard U.S. military mop gear, the gas mask and so forth, their filters only went down to 10 microns. Now, we're getting to the Murrah Building here, but you have to understand what's been going on. They used new depleted uranium weapons. They gave everyone new anthrax shots. People were breathing these 4-micron particulates of low-level radiation, and it was passing through all the filters, and they end up in the human body, in the testicles and the thyroid glands or the ovaries if you're a woman, the reproductive systems. And so our troops were gradually being exposed to low levels of radiation that our mop gear was not filtering out. And so as this stuff started working through everyone's system, they started getting sick, and they called this the Gulf War Syndrome. Meanwhile, Saddam Hussein, retreating from Kuwait, had lit off a bunch of oil well fires, and there was particulates in there and a lot of stuff in the air. So to make a long story short, our guys and girls started coming back from theater, and they came to the U.S., and they were sick as hell. And so the VA was getting flooded. There was a lot of medical problems. And so they started having hearings in Congress about it and call it the Gulf War Syndrome, where there was a Republican senator named Chris Shays from Connecticut, and he was on the Armed Services Committee investigating this Gulf War Syndrome problem. And so he ordered the FBI to go around and collect the records of approximately 480,000 of our troops that had returned from theater. And they were going to try to come up with some kind of medical culpability payment to compensate them, kind of like the DuPont settlement with the Agent Orange guys from Vietnam. And so the FBI went around and began collecting all these records, and guess where they were stored?
The Murray Building in Oklahoma
in
City.
In the Murray Building.
Along with all the stuff that they had on Hillary from the Rose Law Firm, the money laundering, and everything else.
Yes, yeah, so there was multiple reasons why these records were destroyed at the Murrah Building. You blow up the building, and everything goes away. And so later on, after the Murrah Building was detonated on April 19th, 1995, there were congressional hearings that were held on Gulf War Syndrome. And in those hearings, the Department of Defense admitted, and in the book, in this book, I have a copy of some of the stuff in the appendix, the DOD admitted at the hearings that over 400,000 Gulf War Syndrome medical records had, quote, disappeared. And so without those records to prove the disabilities, okay, then they wouldn't know how much money to give them. But here's the bigger problem, John, and this is what the American people really need to understand. This is the key point. When low-level radiation is absorbed in the human body from these depleted uranium weapons, it slowly kills you from the inside. But the problem was, when the men came back from the Gulf War, they made love to their wives, and this low-level radiation, which had concentrated in the testicles and in the reproductive organs.
I know where this is going.
Yes, the semen transferred into the women that made the women sick. Then the ovaries of the women, they got the radiation in them. Then when they had their children, then the children had the radiation transferred to them, then their children, to the grandchildren, to the great-grandchildren. And what happened was the Pentagon, they had a problem that was multi-generational. They could have been on the hook for hundreds and hundreds of billions of future medical bills, deformities, leukemia, you name it. And it all went away when these records were lost in the Murrah Building.
What I have heard, and we're talking about service members, both men and women, that have been involved in this 16-year, I don't even know what the hell to call it anymore, Cody, because that's another issue that I want to touch upon, as well as Benghazi. But we have a situation where what happens when you rotate? You pick up all your gear, you shove it in your duffel bags, and you take all your personal property with you. Well, these bags are sitting around in the servicemen's houses, around their children, around their wives, around their pets. And they brought the contamination with them. If they would have been straight out with them, exactly what was happening here, they could have mitigated some of the circumstance, but instead they chose to cover it up. And this 16-year war, Wesley Clark, I'm sure you've heard that name before.
Yeah.
Simply, I mean, literally weeks after 9/11, he was told by a senior general at the Pentagon about the plans to eliminate. He had a list of 7 countries that were to be destabilized and rebuilt in the Middle East.
Right.
Therein lies the problem, because it isn't just an evil dictator, Saddam Hussein, that they likened to Hitler. We're down to one of the last of the countries, that being Syria, and they're trying their damnedest. Have you ever, Cody, first of all, I've talked a lot about this. We got Ahmed Ahmadinejad, that from all accounts is really not a politician. He's a damn doctor. He's been running Syria over there, and people have been coexisting and living with each other in relative peace. We're talking Arabs, we're talking Jews, we're talking Christians. We're talking about a country that was one of the most stable in the Middle East, outside of Libya and Gaddafi's giveaway to his people. They loved him. But here we have a situation that we were not invited into Syria. Russia was. And Russia has Russia has been doing a fine job of eliminating those anti-Assad forces that we have been training, we have been supplying.
Yeah, you misspoke. You said Ahmadinejad was.
I'm sorry.
In Iran.
I apologize.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. The thing with Benghazi, this is another story. I have a thing about Waco. What really happened down at Waco is an amazing story. And there's so much here that we can't cover it all. But can we talk about Benghazi?
First, let's clean up the issue here with the seven countries slated for elimination and rebuilding. I have been looking at this for a very long time, and then one day somebody pointed out that, well, you know, there's not going to be a peace with Palestine and Israel because, quite frankly, Israel doesn't want peace. They don't want two parties or two governments over there. They want the land. But it was even worse than that. For the greater Israel, the expansion project for greater Israel, this runs all the way up to Saddam Hussein's Baghdad. This is a land grab.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here we've, for 16 years, and I'm going to try to contain myself, Cody, because to be objective, I've got to, just like you, when you're talking about this, and in your mind, you're reliving this stuff. It is emotional. We're talking about human beings. We're talking about people that thought that they were going to war that we have found a way to never officially declare, by the way. It's at the pen and at the whim of the president of who he wants to go knock down for national security reasons or threats to the United States. For 16 years, trillions of dollars, millions of lives that are lost. What I was told was just the operational personnel that have been in and around the Middle East for some 16 years. When these men and women are coming back to the United States getting absolutely no help, and now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand why they weren't, because the big fat admission would have had to hit the light of day, and they weren't going to let that happen. We're talking about just all the human suffering. And, you know, we're not supposed to. You know, you want to talk about, if you want to talk about this strategic deception, you know, these sand niggers or these towel heads, these subhuman people that just go around lobbing people's heads off. We have been involved in killing millions of people in the Middle East for a land grab for our buddies over there that give us absolutely nothing. 102,000 of these service personnel have committed suicide, Cody.
Yeah, there's about 22 a day.
You talk
about human suffering over in Iraq after 91, January 91. The UN went in around 2001, and they did a 10-year study. And what a lot of people don't realize, these depleted uranium weapons were used everywhere, and the small particulate micron size of the resulting chemicals that were formed, they were washed and blown into the Euphrates and Tigris rivers, and those rivers are used to irrigate desert. And Iraq has approximately 28 kinds of dates. They're a big exporter of dates in the Middle East, just like Kansas here in America.
So you're about ready to tell me that they had sent contaminated dates to the worldwide markets.
Right, and then the UN did a survey, and they found a 600% increase in leukemia-type sicknesses in the Iraqi children 10 years after this. So, yeah, the suffering is widespread, and it's great. And when you hear this story about what happened to Benghazi, one of my associates was there that night.
Okay, hold that thought right there. We've got to take this break. My guest, this is one show that I'm not enjoying doing, ladies and gentlemen, but it's one that has to be done just as he has to tell the story. We are bound to give it to you. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Thank you. know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Kick down, break down, take down, everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down, you busted, busted. Shake down, break down, take
down. All right. Just got an email. The guy asked, maybe you can ask Cody to clarify or respond. I really want to believe Cody, but some things I can't help but notice. He does a show on a channel, on the channel Cabin Talk, New Age-like 100%, saying his tribe came from the Star People. Then he comes on the Hagman and Hagman and says he uses oil and the Bible and prays to Jesus. Something just seems strange. Also, I can't understand how the car wreck was so bad and he was on the ground at first and couldn't get out of the bed for the first day, yet he was able to walk over to the girl in the next car. Let's say maybe he used adrenaline and was caught up in the moment. But something that's pretty weird is I've never seen a person get into a really bad car wreck like that and an ambulance not to be called, but he waited 4 hours for a car. These are some of your detractors out there. What say you, Cody?
Okay, there's several questions there, so let's take them one at a time.
And then we'll get into Benghazi. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, start with the first one. There's like three or four questions there.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I don't remember them. Can you ask the first one?
Does the show on the channel Cabin Talk, and it seems to be totally New Age?
Right.
Can you comment on it?
That's what they wanted to talk about. Ole Domegard set that interview up, and the woman wanted to talk about New Age stuff, and they didn't care much about the specifics of the Mirabelli bombing and stuff like that.
They didn't care?
Different radio hosts talk about different things.
Okay.
And they have different focuses. You know, like some of them want to talk about mind control and, you know, CIA mind control. Some of them want to talk about space programs and directed energy weapons like microwave stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them want to talk about the stuff about the Oklahoma City bombing. This false flag stuff ties into a lot of different areas.
Okay, so on the issue of the car wreck, you waited 4 hours for a rental car?
Right.
Okay. Can you clarify that?
After that collision, the highway patrol there, he's 20-year Air Force veteran, the master sergeant, and he told me, you don't look so good. You want me to call an ambulance? And I said no, because at that time, I didn't know if that was a CIA hit, okay? So I didn't want to go to a hospital that I didn't know anyone.
Okay,
so I waited.
So you felt safer. You felt safer next to the 20-year military guy.
No.
Okay.
I waited. I wanted to wait and go to a hospital where I knew the doctors and the physical therapists and the pharmacists and other people.
Okay.
So we sat there and we waited 4 hours. It was snowing, and they had to bring a rent car from the Colorado Springs Airport. And bring it over there and give it to us to drive while the other totaled car was hauled away. And so they took me home, and I have diabetes, and I did not have my diabetes medicine, and I was several hours late, and I was starting to get sick from that, and I had to come here to my house to get the medicine. And then I drove to the hospital where I knew the people. Because in the Barry Sadler assassination, that's what happened down there. When he got shot in the back of the head, it didn't kill him. And then they put him in a civilian hospital, and he was worried that a CIA guy dressed up like a doctor would come finish the job. And so anytime you're in a hospital, you want people watching you, especially when you're in our black ops world like us. You have to have people around you you can trust to watch and see what they're putting in your body.
Okay.
So you don't suddenly die of a stroke or a heart attack.
Okay. So in other words, what I think the intent of this email to me was that you, the inference was that you play chameleon and that somehow that you're not quite what you seem to be. I think I'm reading this correctly. All right. And Cody, and people need to understand, and I've said it myself, that when we have people that come forth, we've had many people come out, and quite frankly, I listen to their story, and I just can't make the thing fly. It's any way you pick up this thing, no matter what end, it's still a dog turd. Okay, but having said that, let's continue here, because I can only make the assumption, Mr. Snodgrass, that you are the person that you say that you are, that you were involved in the operations, and for the reasons you're coming out right now and telling the story is one of great importance to you, because, quite frankly, I don't think you, expect to stick around until you're 85 or 90?
No.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to bring that out to let people know that I'm cognizant and I'm guarded as well. And that I will listen to people's stories. But, Cody, I'm sure I'm pretty much like you. Don't feed me a line of crap. And then, you know, it's like the old S capital hit sandwich. You put the good stuff in the center, but you know, the good crap in the center. And then you put it on two pieces of bread and say, here, eat this. Doesn't taste bad, does it? Tell you what, hang on, Cody. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk.
We are back. Just a note here, Cody. We had a talk show host that went out to Mal Heuer and was involved in the Bundy situation, set up by an FBI confidential informant, setting him up on a gun charge. And he's sitting in some federal halfway house right now, and they're being real picky and choosy as to where they're going to let him go. Meanwhile, the Bundys, the prosecution, the federal prosecutors in front of Judge Navarro, just absolutely, this thing stunk to high heavens. So they kicked it out of court after two trials and did it with prejudice, so they can't be retried for the same crimes. And what we have learned since, that there was the overwatch, the snipers out there. This was a operation that was ready to go hot if necessary. And it didn't. Not one federal agent was harmed out there. We did lose Lavoie Finicum. He was a good, godly man. And he was in the fight. We have had a range war going on out there. It was, whose property is it any damn way? So all of these things that are going on. And then, by the way, just so you listeners know, when this man filled in for me on my program, he immediately got calls. The feds are hawking this guy. Copyright infringement on some of the music you're playing on that show. It is my show. He was a substitute. They don't call me. They harass them or him, which tells me that they're watching him very closely. You know, Cody, I am to the point here because we are in a low-intensity war. When people think of war, they think of body parts flying around. They think of blood. They think of bombed-out buildings. They think of mass destruction. This is a war, nonetheless, being waged against the American people. And before we get into the Benghazi issue, your explanation as to who really the deep state is, who are the sock puppets and who's really pulling the strings?
Well, if we could, before the break, you asked me several questions. I think there were two more questions from that emailer guy that needed addressing. So can you tell me what they are, and I'll answer them quickly.
Okay. All right. Let me go back here. Coming up. Taking forever. Okay. You went on Hagman and Hagman and says he uses oil and a Bible to pray to Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. Explanation?
My explanation is that I believe Jesus Christ is real. I believe his spirit exists. And I believe that we are in a spiritual battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And the forces of darkness are satanic and evil. And they're at the head of the New World Order banking establishment. They're at the head of some of the intelligence agencies in our own government, and MI6 and Israeli Mossad and so forth.
Okay.
And that this is a spiritual battle between light and dark.
Okay.
And
so
I believe everyone has their own right to believe whatever religion they choose. That's guaranteed in our Constitution.
Well, it seems to be strange to me that our best friends and pals over there, the Israelis, don't even believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? I find it fascinating. Okay, so the issue of the oil and the Bible, what's the oil got to do with anything?
The oil is a frankincense and myrrh.
Okay.
And it's a way of cleansing and holding vibrations in an area.
Okay,
to
so
make
this
them higher.
Okay, so this is what the wise men walked into the stable where Jesus was born.
Right.
Okay. All right. And the other question was about the car wreck, and you answered that one. Okay. Let's move on here.
Okay.
Benghazi.
Yeah. The story I'm about to tell here came from an associate. I cannot use his name. They're still active. But he'd been in the U.S. Marine Corps and then became a contractor for CIA. And he was over there in Benghazi that night when that whole firefight erupted. And this is the story that he told me. He said that, and I also have another associate that had dinner with Gaddafi in his presidential palace previously. So I have two sources of intel on this. But the guy that was there said that, you know, when that firefight broke out, that there were air assets available, and he had radio comms, and they were ordered to stand down three times. And he had taken an oath, you know, to defend the Constitution as a Marine and all, and he couldn't stand it. So he went out to help, and he got involved in that firefight. And he said he was in that firefight for approximately 7 hours. And the insurgents had come in there and blown the top of that embassy off, that annex thing there, you know, with Soviet mortars, and they were attacking him. And he said the reason is because Gaddafi, over the years while he was president, had been taking oil revenue, and he'd been buying two things, gold bullion and arms from Russia, and that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were involved in a scheme that he had heard to loot the gold, and that the weapons that were there once Gaddafi was killed, the weapons were moved, and they were being moved through that embassy and then headed over into ISIS, and that ISIS was a creation of our intel agencies to throw Assad out of Syria, because the Saudis had a major pipeline project that they wanted to go through there, and Assad wouldn't agree to it. And that was part of that seven-nation overthrow thing you were talking about to destabilize the region.
Right.
And so his take on it was that our guys were killed and our ambassador was killed because the State Department had ordered them all to stand down. They had land and air assets that were available that could have helped in that process. And the reason why the insurgents blew the top off of that and were attacking it was because they were tired of all the weapons coming through there and being given to ISIS, and ISIS was tearing all over Syria, tearing everything up. And
where were these weapons coming from that they were recycling for their new theater operation?
They had taken them from Gaddafi's storerooms.
Okay,
after
you.
He was killed.
Thank you. Now Mike, go ahead and just so people, let's put this in context. Go ahead and play that clip. I think you'll recognize this woman's voice.
They didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now, honestly, I will do my best to answer your questions about this, but the fact is that people were trying in real time to get to the best information. The IC has a process, I understand, going with the other committees to explain how these talking points came out. But, you know, to be clear, it is, from my perspective, less important today, looking backwards, as to why these militants decided they did it than to find them and bring them to justice. And then maybe we'll figure out what was going on in the meantime.
It's making my stomach turn.
I'm telling you, I and we're running out of time here, but I...
My buddy told me, John, he said that, they can't talk in public. They signed point-specific or mission-specific non-disclosure agreements, and he couldn't talk in public. He whispered this stuff straight into my ear, and he said that, you know, she's a traitor, and they were ordered to stand down 3 separate times. And the reason why was because Obama and Clinton were arming ISIS. He also said that a lot of our pilots, they came off the carriers, and they saw those big long lines of Toyota trucks out in the desert. There was no jungle canopy like in Vietnam. You can see very clearly. And they were ordered at the last minute when they requested the green light to fire. They were ordered not to fire. And then they came back and dumped their ordnance in the ocean before they landed on the carrier. That's standard procedure. And he said that over here in our country, what they did was they took the wing camera footage from the Soviet planes that were shooting ISIS up and destroying those convoys and stuff. They took those Soviet wing camera footages and substituted them for our own and then showed them to our American people, making us believe that we were actually attacking ISIS. The whole time we were arming them and protecting them.
Now, I think people have a pretty good grasp on Assad, and I don't think Assad, in the world stage of nation leaders, is that bad of a guy. But here we've got a situation where he's got American troops on his soil that he did not invite. He made a deal with the Soviets to combat ISIS and get rid of these anti-Assad forces, and they were doing quite a marvelous job at doing it. Well, those operations are mopping up right now, but now we see the Israelis doing bombing raids inside of Syria. They just can't have a Syria with Assad as president of that country stand alone and stand down the American forces. Cody, think about this for a second. We're inside the United States. All of a sudden, troops from foreign lands start coming in this country, performing operations, and we ask them to leave, and they don't?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at FEMA, and you look at, I've seen Russians, I've heard them talking myself right here, around Colorado Springs. There's the 4th Infantry Division, 10th Mountain Division, Peterson Field Air Force Base, Shriver Space Command, Cheyenne Mountain, Air Force Academy. It's just full of stuff. I've personally heard Special Forces guys dressed up in U.S. military Special Forces uniforms, Green Berets, speaking Russian. And then when I walked right by them, they changed to English. You know, they're here. There's a whole lot of dirty stuff going on. I mean, we could talk for hours about it. But I wanted to say one thing about that, my buddy over there that was in at that Benghazi compound. He told me that if all those stories about the gold and those weapons are true, and they got the orders to stand down three different times to protect our embassy, he said that if all that's true, that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the State Department were guilty of a conspiracy to commit treason against the United States.
Now, and okay, I have, as we talk, obviously there's a thousand questions formulating in my head, but I'm trying to keep this on a understandable timeline. We have Donald J. Trump speaking all the words that the American people want to hear. We want a wall. We want the illegals gone. We want our jobs back. We hear we have 4.1% unemployment rate in this country. The economy is starting to boom again, but we still have 90 million Americans out of work. We see record numbers on the stock market, and that's starting to oscillate, and that's starting to go south here real fast. But what, let me see if I can formulate the question here. What is the reason? I mean, because there's a million and one charges that can be levied against Hillary Clinton, just with her Uranium One deal with the Russians, her Clinton Foundation. If we go to and look at Haiti, you know, they spend millions of dollars to put out $20 or $30 million from her foundation. What is the, from your perspective, you could nail this woman on 1,000 charges for treason, for just about everything under the sun. Why are they still covering for her? Is it because it would take out half the damn government, half of the Congress critters? It would take out high echelons in the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon. It would decimate this government. What's the real reason why they're not going after, in your personal opinion, Cody?
Yeah, in my opinion, it's just what you just said. The Clintons have been around a long time. They are absolute masters. They are master deceivers, master politicians. And if you remember the J. Edgar Hoover days, those who study history, Hoover kept big files on people. And that's one reason he maintained his power for so long. And I believe, although I do not have actionable intelligence one way or the other on this, my personal opinion is that when Bill was president and Hillary was in the Rose Law Firm, and then she was Secretary of State with 70,000-plus employees, and they had access to information around the world through the intelligence agencies, I think they've got really big files on people, and I think they've got people compromised. I think they have pictures of people doing sex acts. They've got people in pedophile rings. I think they have tape recordings. I think they have a wide variety of damaging information that could be used to blackmail or otherwise coerce people. And the corruption in the pedophile rings and stuff is so deep and so prevalent in the higher levels of our government that if it's just like you said, if Hillary was to talk and go down, there'd be a whole lot of people who would be sick.
Well, by meaning sick, you mean being charged themselves, being brought into court, being found guilty and sent to prison for a very, very long time?
Right. It's a standard procedure. You know, the Soviets, the KGB was masters at it. They'd catch some diplomat at a party, and then they'd secretly film them having sex with someone, and then they'd blackmail them, you know, for if they needed a vote or they needed some information. That's how they turned a lot of the spies, like Project Slammer. That we have a section of, in the book that deals with Aldrich Ames, which was our CIA station chief over in Moscow, and Robert Hansen, the 26-year FBI counterintelligence officers, and how they were turned. That's what Project Slammer was how you turn people. And sex and money and blackmail are common things that are used to control people. You need a vote on some Senate subcommittee for something. You know, you show them some pictures of them at a party with someone and tell them, you know, we don't want your wife to see this, and it'll all go away if you'll vote our way. And I think the corruption is systemic and endemic, and the Clintons are right in the middle of it all.
Well, it was interesting. One of our talk show hosts on this network sent me a book cover on John McCain, and they're trying to prop this guy up for being a hero. Did you ever hear of the propaganda piece that he did for the North Vietnamese?
No.
Okay. I'll have to make sure that you get a copy of that.
Although, I do have a bunch of stuff we didn't put in the book. One of my associates was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and he knew John McCain, and he told me a whole bunch of stuff about all that, and he was also General Norman Schwarzkopf's war planning chief over in Desert Storm 1. And there's a lot of dirt and a lot of stuff that's underneath. There's a lot of classified stuff that'll never see the light of day. And if it ever gets subpoenaed or a FOIA, Freedom of Information request, you know, it'll be lost or redacted or disappeared out of the files. The corruption is just so deep, it's very difficult to even grasp it.
Well, some of the belief, Cody, and this runs deep. If you want to defeat somebody before a battle even starts, you demoralize them. And a lot of people are demoralized, and they firmly believe that as a nation, we're gone. We will never return to our constitutional republic roots, and that it's just a lost cause. And I understand that we are the linchpin. This is a government created by men that the likes of the world has never seen. Now, it's been tampered with. It's been set upside down. We have had I call them the asshats that want their socialism or communism or give it a name, their democracy, of which the founders perfectly understood what democracy leads to. And they said in no uncertain terms, absolutely not. Well, the mouthing of the politicians now were the world's greatest democracy. The way I see this, and that's why I asked you the question of who's pulling the strings for the deep state operatives that you see moving in and around Washington, D.C. And I go back to the globalist. I go back to their banking. I've said for 25 years, Cody, if we want to make America great again, I didn't use that term. Sorry, Donald J., for stealing your political line there. But if we really wanted America to be great again and rebuild it, only this time structurally ironclad that it does not fall, we've got to get rid of this 100-year funny money fiat stuff that has absolutely buried us in debt.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve and the whole banking thing is behind the deep states, and they operate from behind the scenes in all the countries and influence everything. And, you know, bankers, John, they don't care about a particular conflict. They don't care about ideology like Muslimism or Christianism or communism or
any
historism.
They don't care. Gotcha.
They care. What bankers care about is not the conflict, but the debt that the conflicts produce, and whoever holds that debt holds control. They make money two ways. They start a war, they loan money to both sides, then whoever wins the war, they loan money back to them to rebuild. So it's a two-way thing that creates debt in both ways.
And we've got a scenario here that we're at a tipping point in this country right now, Cody, that if decisive action is not taken right now to right the ship here of liberty, and that's a little pun on our Israeli friends over there, USS Liberty, that we will not get this country back. And the stage play that I see playing out politically in this country, the news organizations want the left fighting the right and the right fighting the left, and that's all of it. That's all that this is about. In the meantime, there's this cauldron of absolute disgusting goo that has been boiling for a long time that, if not properly handled, yes, it could destroy the U.S. government. And quite frankly, Cody, there was a lot of people that were hoping that when we ran out of money to run the government, that it just shut down and we go into just operational mode, irrespective of this, of that, that we just run a skeleton government because we can't afford this anymore. Any way you look at this, there's many ways to die by a thousand cuts, whether it be by the debt by the bankers or a bullet to the head. There's many ways to die.
Yeah.
So we are at a tipping point right now. Do you see, now I only have a couple minutes left here, and I want to take the opportunity to invite you back. Can you come back Friday, health reasons aside, if you're in fairly good shape, can you come back Friday?
Possibly email me. I have to go to a neurologist and do a bunch of stuff, but email me and we'll see about the schedules. I'd also, John, if I could, give out, we have two websites people can get a copy of this book if they're interested. One of them is here in the United States. It's simply called CodySnodgrass.com.
Spell your last name, please.
S-N-O-D-G-R-E-S.
And the European?
The European one is called LightOnConspiracies.com/Cody.
All right. If I have my preference, I'll go with the U.S. website. I've been looking at the European one. Having said all of what we have said over the last couple of hours, what do you see as immediate help to start to turn the tables for this country? What has to happen? In your opinion, what has to happen right now?
Yeah, we have to do what we're doing on your show right now. We have to educate people, open their eyes to all of this hidden corruption and the hidden stuff that's going on and what our government's really been doing. And if we can open more people's eyes, then we have to band together. They're not going to give up their power. The deep state's not going to quit. They're not just going to walk away. I mean, why haven't they indicted Hillary? Why haven't they indicted Bill and so many others? Because it's so corrupt at the top, and the Department of Justice is corrupt. The whole thing is so corrupt that we, the people, are going to have to rise up and change it. If not, we will lose the country forever, and we'll probably all be microchipped like dogs in some new world order, worldwide scheme.
Cody, I'm looking at the landscape right now and the police state that they have built here, and this is not the life. This is not the country I was born into, and this is not the country I want to leave behind once I shuffle off the mortal coil. I've always taken this as it's my job, it's my mission, and I've used that term before, to continually work to get our republic back on track. The job will never be done. We've got to guard this jealousy, but first we've got to clean out the hen house here and do it quickly. Cody,
what are we going to give to our children? What are we going to leave for our children?
Yeah, well, I don't have to worry about that one, but I'm doing this for other parents and children and the future of this country. I'm not gonna let this go, Cody. I'm not.
Yes, sir.
All right. Talk to you soon. We're out of time today. I appreciate your courage. I appreciate your honesty. My BS meter did not go off here. Okay? Just wanted you to know that. I heard you use that term before. So hang tight. Stay healthy. Ladies and gentlemen, listen closely. We've got a job to do. The war has been on for a long time, and you're the intended victim. Thanks, Cody.
Thank you.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.